The following message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Okay, you're familiar with this passage, and look, we've been going through this since the beginning of January. We've been talking about expectation, circumstance, change and transition, training, retraining, training others, resilience, and now we're talking about the next. What happens after all that stuff gets thrown together? After I go through circumstances, after I have expectations, after I go through changes, after I'm sitting here training myself, maybe I'm getting retrained, maybe I've been training some other people, now I'm trying to stick through the fight, I'm staying resilient, and now I'm in this next. Well, what is next? And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, as we've been going through that whole series back in January, and they're online if you want to listen to them, as we were going through that whole series, I'm sitting here saying to myself, we're right here on the cusp of Easter, of Resurrection Sunday. Palm Sunday is today. This is Celebration Sunday. This is the Sunday when Jesus is coming in into Jerusalem, and everyone is like, this is it. This is the moment. The moment we've been waiting for. Now, we already know that in a few span of a few short days, this is all going to be, by the outside visual mind, going terribly wrong fast, right? I mean, the conquering king is not going to be conquering, though it appears. That's what the visual is going, but we're going to see the reality is not the case. Before that moment, though, before that moment is this passage right here that y'all have already read 1,000 times. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not have some subtle nuance like, whoa, he has some unique spin on this I never heard. You will say, I have heard this before. But there was something as I was preparing for today that the Lord showed me that was so encouraging to me that I want to pass on to you in a very familiar passage. I'm going to read it out of God's Word translation. It's Matthew 14. Now, by the way, if I said to you in the Bible, the same story is sitting there 3 different times, would you all agree with me? It's probably important to remember it. Yeah. You know, if I read it one time, I'm like, okay, that's important. It's God's Word. But if I hear it a second time, I'm like, wow, he really wanted me to grab that. If it's a third time, I'm like, yeah, he really wants me to grab this, okay? Well, it's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, you all know that story, okay? It's the little boy in the basket with the bread and the fish, and it's the miracle that happens. And everyone's like, yeah, I know that story. It's an awesome story. It's been in movies. It's been in stories. It's been in Sunday school. It's been in VBS. It's been everywhere. I don't have a subtle nuance on it. I just have something here to encourage you out of it, okay? Let me read it with you real quick here. Again, my translation might be a little bit different, but just follow along. If you don't have your scripture, that's fine. This is out of Matthew 14, it's also out of Mark 6, and it's also in Luke 9. And Jesus and his disciples crossed to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or it's called the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd followed him because they saw the miracles that he performed for the sick. That's an important point we're going to get in a second. And Jesus went up to the mount and sat down with his disciples, for the time of the Jewish Passover festival was near. Verse 3, and Jesus saw the large crowd coming to him, and he said to Philip, this is an important point, guys, where can we buy bread for these people? Jesus asked this question to test him, but already knew what to do. Did you catch that, what I just said? Jesus asked the question to test Philip, but he already knew, meaning Jesus, what was going to happen. It's important you get that. And again, we've got some of this in this story, in these songs here. Philip answered, we would need about a year's wages to buy enough bread for each of these people to have a piece. And one of the disciples, Andrew, who was Peter's brother, said, a boy has 5 loaves of barley and 3 fish here and 2 small fish, but that won't go far enough with so many people. And Jesus said, have the people sit down, for there is plenty of room for them to sit. There are about 5,000 men in the crowd. And Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, distributed them to the people who were sitting there. And he did the same thing with the fish. And all the people ate as much as they wanted. And when the people were full, Jesus told his disciples, gather the leftover pieces so there is nothing to be wasted. And the disciples gathered the leftover, and there was bread that filled 12 baskets. And when the people saw this miracle performed, they said, this man, Jesus, is certainly the prophet who has come into the world. Okay, real quick. Ready? Point one. Life draws a crowd. And we just heard that in the songs, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about gimmicks. I'm talking about life that has been transformed by Jesus draws a crowd. And that is a good thing. Amen. Now, anyone can do gimmicks. Anyone, any person can get an A-list star, and that can draw a gimmick. You can go out, you can get a superstar, you can get an athlete, you can get an important celebrity, and that will draw a crowd. But as soon as they go, the greatest show on earth will roll up its tent, and when that life leaves that community, life does not go on change. It says, we saw a good show. But when there's life that's been transformed by Jesus, and it touches other lives, something transforms. And how do we know this? Because Jesus comes bringing life. What's the life he brought? It says right there in the beginning of this gospel. He comes and he is healing the sick. Guess what you are when you're sick? In need. Your life is in need. Whether you're critically in sick or you have a minor malady, you are in need. And when you're in need and you hear, I am sick and I just got healed, and you're like, well, I got an issue too. Or I know someone who has an issue and they have an issue. And you start calling that person and say, hey, look it, I don't know what's going on down the road, but I do know Josh, and Josh was sick and Josh just got healed. And I know we got an issue, so let's just go find out what's going on. Life draws a crowd. But I'm not talking about gimmicks. I'm talking about the real transformed life. And for what purpose? To bring people back to life. You know, the whole story of this miracle at the feeding of the 5,000 is the way the story starts and the way the story finishes. It starts with life and it finishes with life. How does it start? People who were sick were being transformed miraculously by being encountered by Jesus. And how does it end? They saying, surely this Jesus is the prophet who we were told was coming into the world. Their life was transforming. And by the way, this is the last big, quote, big event before Jesus enters Jerusalem. The buzz when Jesus walks into Jerusalem is, this is the guy that just a few miles ago was doing these miracles, and the sick and the deaf and the lame and the hurt and the wounded and the possessed and those who were just flat out hungry got fed. Amen. You don't think that's when Jesus walks in on that mule and they're out there waving the palms saying, Hosanna? Yeah, because the buzz factor was there is life coming into Jerusalem. Prepare the way. Now, they didn't get the full picture of what Jesus was really doing, but we're not covering that right now. I wanted to make this point. Here's the personal application. In your life, are you drawing a crowd? Whoa. Joshua, what are you saying? I'm not saying, are you preaching to people? I'm not saying, do you have a 5-point sermon? I'm not saying, do you have all your theology figured out perfect? I'm saying, what has Jesus done in your life when you walk into your world, whatever the ordinary of your world is, are you drawing a crowd because of what Jesus has transformed in your life? Or does the world just more or less see you like the world sees itself? Jacked up, hurt, wounded, sick, lame, frustrated, mad, disappointed? Or do they say, man, I just ran into you. I mean, hello, these are these songs here. I just ran into you, and there's something in your life. Are you drawing a crowd? I think that's an important question we should all ask, because the reality is Jesus was drawing crowds. And not because Jesus was just a cool rock star. He was bringing life, transforming life. A lot of other people were promising doing that too, but those crowds fizzled out when the greatest show on earth fizzled out with it. But Jesus truly was the greatest event, not a show, event. Are you transforming life? Now, let me put this in a practical way, because you're going to say, well, how do I transform life? And I was sitting there having breakfast with Russ and Billy, and they were just kind of sharing some stories. And I'm just going to give you a real practical way. Here's just a real simple way that you can share life that doesn't have to get too preachy. You're sitting there, and you're talking to somebody that knows you. You're at work or whatever. And someone, if it happens, say, oh, man, thank you. You really bailed me out. And instead of sitting there saying, yeah, you're welcome, I did, say, you know what? It's my pleasure to have helped you. I'm just thankful God gave me the opportunity to help you. Drop it there. That seed drops. Well, what do you mean God gave you the opportunity? That puts that thought in their mind. That guy didn't just sit there and take it for himself. That guy said, wow, I was there because God gave me an opportunity. It may not happen that day, but it drops the seed that I'm a person who's had a life that's been transformed. And one day you might find out that you have such a need that you say, I'm sick and I know where to go to find out a life that's been touched by the life. That's point one. Point two. You know, Jesus already, as he asked the question, Jesus already asked the question and he knew the answer. How many times do we sit there in life and we face a situation and we're like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. And guess what? Jesus allowed the circumstance in your life and he already knew the answer. But he allowed it anyway. Well, I don't get that, Lord. To test you. Well, that's not fair. Yes, it is totally fair. He wants to test you because he wants to get down to where do you really put your trust. Because if your trust is in Bank of America, if your trust is in your guitar, if your trust is in your friends, if your trust is in your corporate job, if your trust is in your zip code, all those things can be taken away. Scripture tells you, do not put your trust where your treasure is in the place that moths and rust can eat it. But put your trust and your heart in the kingdom. Nothing's touching that of this world. Nothing's touching that of this world. So put your trust there. So Jesus allows circumstances into your life to test you. And here's your answer. Are you ready? I'm going to give you the answer. I love it when I get an answer. Sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, the answer is as simple as the Jesus in front of you. That's the answer. Well, that seems like it's too simple. He is the answer. Now, here's why I'm saying that. Jesus asked the question. Here it is. Now, by the way, it says in Scripture 5,000 men. If we want to be real conservative and we don't want to go double for double, like a man and a woman would make, you know, a family, let's just say 5,000 plus a couple thousand more women and they add children, we'll just say conservatively 10,000. 10,000. Okay, maybe less, maybe more. I would go with more, but let's just say, we'll say conservatively 10,000, as the Bible says, 5,000 men. 10,000 people there. Jesus sees the crowd. Jesus already knows what's going to happen. Jesus says, how are we going to feed these men? I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm Philip and I'm Andrew. I'm like, Lord, last time I checked Bank of America. There's not enough money. That's what Philip says. There's not enough wages in Bank of America between the 12 of us apostles. And I just checked your account, Jesus, and you're a little thin on the money as well. So guess what? We have nowhere store to go to. We have no bank. We have no bank to draw from. So guess what? We don't have a way to do this. That's Joshua, by the way, speaking. Lord, we're too few. This need is too much. It's impossible to reach it. Jesus already knew the answer. Philip doesn't know what to do. Andrew is part two, Joshua. Andrew's like, I like Andrew, because here's Andrew's answer. Well, we got a basket full of bread and fish, but it's only totaling five, and there is, oh, after all, about 5,000 men. It's like almost like a token. Well, we have this, but this certainly can't do it. We're guilty of that in our own life. Lord, I don't have enough. I mean, look what I have. I got a little this, I got a little that. I certainly can't meet that need. I certainly can't do anything there. Jesus already knew the answer. The answer was as simple as who was standing right in front of them. Now, here's what should have been said in a spiritually understanding world. Jesus should have said, how are you going to feed these 5,000? Here should have been Philip's answer. Lord, I just saw you doing miracles. I just saw sick being healed. I saw lame walking. I saw those who were completely bound up in their misery, delivered. I don't know how we're going to feed them, but I know you did it, so you go ahead and do it, and I'm here waiting for you to tell me what you want me to do. Amen. That should have been it. That should have been it. You know, sometimes, and this is where we want to get to as a fellowship here at Maranatha, and I want to say in the body of Christ. Someone says, oh, you know, Pastor, did you hear about so-and-so? They have a need. we need to do something in the church. You know what the answer should be from us? Do it! What? No, I am. I'm calling you, Pastor. Can we help out? Yeah, go for it. No. I'm asking you, Pastor, is there enough money in the church bank account to help out Joe with his problem? Yes, you. You are the church. The answer is as simple as you did. Now, the church does come together. We do missions, and we do give to global missions, and we do give in areas where the need might be much bigger than what one person can handle. But we need to stop taking this idea of, well, I just don't know what to do. You are right there to do it. You're holding the resources. You have all you need. Look at, even if you think, I don't have enough, you have all you need. If you have 3 and 2 in the basket, you have more than enough to meet 5,000. Well, it doesn't make sense. The math doesn't work out. You're right. But with Jesus, the math always works out. Amen. And I've been so guilty in saying, well, Lord, we're just a small church. We can't do that. We can't possibly go there. We can't possibly take on that. There's no possible way. And I've been guilty of not realizing even if I had 3, 2, 50, 500, 5,000, or 0, it doesn't matter to Jesus. The answer is as simple as the Jesus in front of me. You realize Jesus didn't need 3 and 2 in the basket to make it happen. He didn't need 1 to make it happen. Jesus, God, allowed water to come from the rock in the wilderness. He drew manna from heaven. He had quail come into a wilderness. He doesn't need what's in the basket for it to work. But what he does say is, I'll use what's in the basket. I'll use whatever you have. I'll use things you don't have. But do you trust me? Do you trust me? Third point. This is, the big one. This is the big one, guys. This is my big one. And it's one that we miss. Here it is. Jesus says, okay, have everyone sit down. Give me the basket. What's in the basket? Three pieces of bread, 2 fish, right? I mean, okay. He takes it, and this is where we miss it, guys. He gives thanks, or he blesses what he has. Now, I stopped, and this is really the linchpin of what I want to share with you. I stopped and I said to myself, wait a second, what is Jesus doing? He's blessing. Now, he already knew what he had to do. He already knew how this was going to play out, but he's blessing it. He's giving thanks. And I asked myself 3 quick questions. Who's Jesus giving thanks to? He's God in flesh. So who's he giving thanks to? What is he giving thanks for? And why is he giving thanks? I mean, it's just a miracle getting ready to happen. We've seen this before in the Gospels. He's done miracles. Why, who, and for what? And here's the answer. Jesus is giving thanks to the Father. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. This is Jesus giving the model, though he's God in flesh, saying, we don't do anything unless God is first in everything. Well, I have an idea. Ask God first. Well, I don't really think I need to ask God. Get in the habit of asking God first. Why? When you keep him first, you give him the opportunity to completely bless your circumstance and situation. Well, I'll give God in a second. No, first fruits. No, I'll get it going and then I'll ask God to work in and through all the bumps and the bruises in the road. No, you can avoid the bumps and the bruises if you put God first. If Jesus, God in flesh, says, I'm going to perform a miracle that I can completely perform by my own will, because I am God, I can do this, but I'm going to demonstrate that I am subject to give God the glory first. Now, for what purpose did he give the glory first? What? What did he do that for? To honor. And people would see. And everyone would understand. And God would be involved right from the get-go. There was not going to be one snafu throughout this whole problem. And why? The end of the story tells you. So people would believe. Why? Why give God the glory? Why put him first? So someone says, I know Joshua. He can't do it. But because I know he can't do it and it got done, it wasn't because he was smart or talented or this or that. It's because clearly God was on his side. And now I believe there's a life there that he's really drawing from. Jesus. People believe. This is the story. They say it.
This surely is the Son of God. This surely is he who was prophesied. There can be no doubt. There's 5,000 plus sitting here. There's a guy up there with his 12 closest friends and a basket full of nothing. And yet, I'm eating. Where did it come from? Give thanks. Now, we got to get this really, one more quick element to this. The word give thanks in Hebrew is the word baruch. I'm not going to bury you down in the Greek and the Hebrew, but just follow me, okay? It's also in the Greek, it's the word that we get, that we use in English to eulogize, okay? This is it in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the word blessed or blessing. Let me tell you what Jesus did in this moment. When he blessed what he had, he was giving homage, adoration, and gratitude to God. I am blessing you, Father. Why? Because this is all I have, but I'm blessing you. I am thankful for this, and I am going to give you all I have. Amen. Well, it's not a lot. It doesn't matter. I'm blessing God with it. And here's the beautiful thing. When you put God first, this is where the word blessed comes from, the word baruch in Hebrew. This is what it literally comes to in the scripture to us. When you put God first and bless him, when you do this, God in turn blesses us by granting prosperity and physical and spiritual grace. That's what I bless the Lord. And the Lord says, because you put me first, I'm going to bless you. In what way? In every way.
Hallelujah.
In everything. Well, Lord, I'm a worm. I'm not worth it. Doesn't matter. You put me first. I'm still going to bless you. But Lord, I have a need and I don't think I've been faithful. But did you put me first? Well, yes, I did. Then I'm going to bless you. I'm going to extend my grace to you. I'm going to give you opportunities you didn't even think you could fall into by accident. But you got to keep me first. This is the condition. You get to bless me first. Now, here's the other good thing. We can bless one another. This is also in the word baruch. I can bless Billy. I can bless Richard. And Richard can bless me. You know what that really means? That means that I'm actually taking something that I have and I'm giving it to him to bless him. And we get uncomfortable with that because that means we're a little bit lighter in whatever it is we have. But when we say, Lord, I'm blessing him because I'm blessed by you and you've blessed me and I'm blessing him. And then he blesses someone else and then she blesses. And next thing you know, we're a community that understands the right relationship of blessing and being blessed. I love this part. We can bless one another by commending goodwill to each other or blessing one another with actual things. But then I love this. You can bless the Lord because he is worthy. You can bless him in your work. You can bless him in your home. You can bless him in your food. You can bless him in keeping the day of the Lord holy. Oh, I hate my job. Bless the Lord for your job. It may not be the ideal job right now. It may be a totally lousy, low-paying job. Get in the habit of saying, Lord, thank you. I bless you that you gave me the opportunity to earn some kind of wage in this life. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I will challenge you. You will be surprised if you'll get in the attitude of blessing the Lord with what you have been given already. You will watch and you'll see somehow things start multiplying. Not somehow, it's God how. Just will. I'm not talking about prosperity like your wallet's going to all of a sudden go from $1 to $1 million. I'm not trying to create these crazy scenarios that we get locked in our mind with. I'm saying God has a way of wanting to take care of his people and he'll cover all your bases. It's right there in the feeding of the 5,000. Bless him in your place of your home. Lord, thank you for my home. Thank you. I love it. And It's a Wonderful Life. You remember It's a Wonderful Life when George Bailey has that drafty old house and he has that and he's going through the crisis and he goes to run up the stairs and he pulls that piece off the top of the banister and he wants us to slam it into the thing. But by the time that story ends though and he's running up the banister and it pulls off, he's like, oh, I love this drafty old house. He's kissing it and he's like, oh, this beautiful drafty old house. Why? Because he was blessed. He realized the value of what he had been given. Mm-hmm. Bless the Lord in your food. Lord, we thank you for this food. We ask that you bless it. And this is my prayer. I'm not making fun of it. This is my prayer. Lord, thank you for this food. We ask that you bless it, that it bring strength and nourishment to my body. In the name of Jesus, amen. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. That's what I pray every time I get ready to eat. I'm saying, Lord, thank you for food. Yes. thank you for sustenance. I want you to bless this, and I want to be a blessing in this. And so, you know, Jeanette and I are in the habit of inviting people over from time to time, and it's just, we want to bless you. Mm-hmm. We want to bless you. Believe me, this was a hard one for me to get over. This was a hard one, because the mind says, why are you giving your stuff away to somebody? Why are you opening up your home to somebody? Don't you know what that costs you? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and bless his holy name. And bless the Lord in keeping his day holy. Amen. Well, you know, I'm gonna say something that might ruffle some feathers, so don't get offended by this, but let me just say it. Ready? When people say, I don't need church, drop that line from your life. You just don't want to go to church. That's what you're saying. Because hear me tell you what you need. You need to be in the body of the fellowship of Christ, where we are living as one in Christ, in the unity of Christ, in the love of Christ, in the completeness of Christ, in the blessing of Christ, in the relationship of Christ, in the love of Christ. That's what we all need. Now, we have reasons why we don't want to go to church, but those are wants. Well, I don't like that building. I don't want to go there. I don't like that pastor. I don't like that zip code. I don't want to be in that chair. So when we say, I don't need church, really what we're saying is, I've made up my mind, I don't want church. That's what we're saying. I don't want church. Now I want to challenge you, because I love you. You don't have to come here. But I want to challenge you because I love you. I want you to need God. And if you find yourself needing God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, you will look at church totally different. Because then you will say, it's not the building, and it's not the guy who gets up on Sunday and speaks for 30 minutes, and it's not the music or the lack thereof. It's the relationships I'm getting. It's the blessing I'm getting. It's me being a blessing that I'm giving. And oh, by the way, I get to bless the Lord because the Lord said, keep my day holy.
Yes, amen.
So here's how I get to bless the Lord. On this day, I don't let anything else compete with God. I have a lot of things that can compete with God, but on this day, I say, Lord, it's not the Titans. I'm a Patriots fan. It's not the Patriots. It's not this. It's not that. None of that stuff competes right now with you, Lord. This is yours.
Amen.
Okay, so let's wrap it up. Here we go. This is it. This is the best part. You want to hear the best part of this? The story about, now, bless the Lord. And when you bless the Lord, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Not because Joshua can tell you what happened, just the scripture tells you what happens. When you bless the Lord, here's what happens. When you are a person who is truly living in the Thanksgiving blessing that God has done in your life and you're in repeat of that, there's always plenty left over.
Amen.
No, there's not. No, no, no. I bless the Lord. It is never enough for me. I am always out in the cold. I'm always short. I'm always out. That's not God's word. Now, if you are trying to bless to get something because you're trying to manipulate something, you might be short in the pocket. Yeah. Well, I'm going to give it to him because, you know, if I know we're buddies and he's going to owe me and I'm going to owe him and then we're going to... No, 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 no. If you are truly saying, I bless the Lord with all I have,
yes,
and I bless my brothers and I bless the work and I give and I'm not worried about this stuff, there's always left over. Well, how do you know that, Pastor Joshua? How do you know there's always left over? Because it just told you right there. After everyone was fed, 5,000 plus, Jesus said, get the baskets because there's still a lot on the ground and gather it up. And guess what? There's enough for 12 baskets left over. That's an interesting little tidbit to throw in the end. There is more than enough. They go, well, 3 and 2, 5,000. The math didn't work out, but somehow we have 12 in the excess. You know why? Because they were people who were of thanksgiving. And there's always plenty left over if you're a person who's of thanksgiving. I think it's interesting that the last little part of that is this. There's 12 disciples and there's 12 baskets. I don't know where that goes, but just think about that. There's 12 disciples. Each disciple got a take-home bag. They got a little take-home baggie. Well, here's your take-home baggie for your miracle, Jesus. I got enough to get me into Jerusalem. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't know what they did with that, but here's what I know. In this story, in this account, as Russ and Billy were up there sharing, I want us to be a fellowship that understands it's not about these buildings. And it's wonderful if you have buildings. It's not about how much we have or not how much we have. Stop looking at ourselves and what we do or don't. Let's look at what we do have right here. in this room, and if we have what we have in this room, can I tell you, you have more than enough for God to perform what he wants to perform. The question is, do you want to bless the Lord? Do I want to bless the Lord? Or do I want to talk down about every single thing I don't have, comparing it to what I do have? The best part of this account for Joshua, is this. The Lord, Jesus, God in flesh, was not so big that he overrode the will of the Father. He blessed the Father. Why? So people would believe, that life would be drawn. I don't know how many people followed after that day. Scripture doesn't tell us how many people followed after that miracle. Maybe a lot of them went back and said, hey, I already got my miracle and I went on the rest of my life. Maybe some lives were completely, radically transformed and they kept on testifying about what God did in their life. I know this. If they had encountered Jesus and their life was transformed, they were not the same. They were not the same. Now, they may have wanted to go back to the same, but they were no longer the same. If you came sick, you were healed. If you came hungry, you were fed. And the model you were shown is, that man, Jesus. That man, Jesus. He blessed. He poured out. He gave. And not because he needed to get one thing out of it, that I would believe. I believe. If no one else believed, the 12 disciples believed after that day. If no one else did, the 12 did. I don't know how the...
The preceding message by Joshua Johnion was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.